Welcome to the fifth episode of the Focus on Linux podcast Advent Calendar. Today's episode covers several things that are very important to me personally: open source, the Fediverse, and podcasts. We're going to talk about a very interesting project that combines these components, Castopod. Of course, I'm not going to do this all by myself, as we are joined by the Castopod founder and developer, Benjamin Bellamy. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? So we now hear that you're the person behind Castopod, but what else can you tell our listeners about you?
I can tell you that I'm a really big fan of open source and of podcasting. So it was very natural that 4 years ago, I started Castopod, which is an open source platform for hosting podcasts. And the reason why we started that, because I'm not the only person behind Castopod. Actually, I'm responsible for like 2% of the source code of Castopod only right now. The company that I started 5 years ago, which is called Adores, which means toward the ears in Latin, its goal is to create fair and sustainable ecosystem for podcasters. And because we love podcasting, because it's a social network from the last century, in a sense that it's decentralized. You can choose your own hosting platform, and you can choose your own listening platform. And there is no single point of failure. If your podcast gets removed or censored someplace, there are still other ways to listen to it and to broadcast it. But at some point, we felt like an open source system was missing. There used to be many, many open source platforms for hosting podcasts, but at some point, only a few of them remained, and they were not maintained anymore. Like I used a podcast generator, which is a PHP system for very long, but it wasn't maintained anymore. I thought, well, there should be a podcast hosting platform that is connected to the Fediverse activity pub, like Mastodon, because there's a platform for pictures with Pixel Fed, there's one for music with Funk Whale, there's Bookworm, there's PeerTube, there are platforms on the Fediverse for everything. So 4 years ago, we assumed that there was one for podcasting, because the similarities between the Fediverse and podcasting are huge. They're both decentralized systems where you can choose your platform, so it makes total sense. And so actually, in the beginning, we looked for one. I was like 100% sure that there was one, but there wasn't. Actually, there was one, which is called Pubcast. But it was not finished, and it was never finished by the developer. So we started to think about this, and at some point, a friend of mine told me, but you should ask NLNet, which is a company from Netherlands who helps creating fair ecosystem on the internet to repair the internet, and they help open source programs and open source solutions. And he explained to me how NLNet help by giving grants. So we applied for a grant, and it got accepted, which wasn't... It was not the amount of money that they gave us that changed everything, because we've been developing Castopod for years now, so obviously the grant does not cover all the expenses. It was the fact that if someone thinks that this project is worth giving a grant, it probably means that people need it. So this is what decided us to start the project in the first place, which in the beginning, it was just like a side project. We thought, we need to provide a way to host podcasts so that in the end, if someday your podcast gets censored or blacklisted or kicked out from all the platforms, that you will still be able to self-host. And the reason why we were really strong on the connecting that to the Fediverse is because we believe that when you create a podcast, but this applies to other media, but it is really true for podcasting. So when you create a podcast, the value that you create lies between the content and the audience. So by providing a platform that allows you to self-host, you have control on the content because you know that your files, your MP3 files, are on your server. So you have total control on your content and no one can delete it, no one but you. But that does not totally answer the problem for from the audience point of view. Because when you publish the podcast, now how do you interact with the audience? How do you say to your listeners, you can ask me questions and I can answer and you can share and like. If you ask them to do that on like the big closed platform, that's like Facebook or Twitter X or this kind of platform, then you go back to the original point where there is a single point of failure regarding the audience, so that someone has control on all the interaction between you and your audience. So using ActivityPub to connect CastoPod and to connect your podcast to the Fediverse, it was about that. It was about having a direct connection between you and your audience. So when now you publish an episode on CastoPod, it gets published to an RSS feed, like all the other platforms do. But also, it creates an ActivityPub message on an activity stream so that anyone on Mastodon can like, share, and comment this episode. And there is no middle person between the audience and your content. So now, no one can disconnect you from your audience.
This is great. So I discovered CastoPod, I think, 1 year ago because one of my fellow podcasting friends also uses CastoPod for their podcast. And I never heard about this and I really like it. So I'm using it for one of my private podcasts. And I think the Fediverse is just the last or one of the last remaining pieces of the internet that is not fully flooded by hate and other non very nice information. And I think CastoPod comes to the right time because a couple of years ago, we had a lot of issues with the Twitter X meltdown. And I know that a lot of persons discovered in that time the Fediverse. So I would be interested, do you see any increase to CastoPod in comparison with, let's say, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when you started it?
Yeah, definitely. The fact that Twitter has been bought by someone who is lunatic, I think we can say that. It helped a lot, the Fediverse and Mastodon and Blue Sky and all other platforms. So in a sense, we should be thankful. But I have to disagree with what you said about the hate that you get less on Mastodon. And it's because it's the beginning and there are fewer people. If there were as many person on Mastodon that they are on Twitter, I'm pretty sure it would be exactly the same. And moreover, when you're posting something on Twitter, you have to trust the person behind Twitter, Twitter X. On Mastodon, well, there are several instances. So you don't know who to trust. And sometimes it could be really tricky because you will create an account on one platform and realize in the end that you're not allowed to say whatever you want to, or maybe that your instance has been blocked by others, so you don't see them or they don't see you. So I think it is better, but it's not the best. Thanks to the Fediverse, we are in control much more than what we are on the GAFAM platforms. But they don't solve all the problems.
Definitely.
So we have to be careful about these issues. There is one platform that I really like. I don't use it, but I really like it. It's Nostr. Because Nostr, your address is your public key, which means that you can change the server. You can go from one instance to another, but your address never changes. And I think that's pretty clever. And it's a shame that they didn't think of that when they started ActivityPub and Mastodon. In the end, it's really difficult to talk on Nostr, and I don't know if it will succeed eventually. But my point is, there are many, many options and many solutions and maybe protocols. As long as we don't get blind and we see what's going out there, and we will find a path to connect between each other.
Yeah, I mean, we have the possibility to have the possibility to decide which instance we pick, whether it's Lemmy or Mastodon or yet another Fediverse applications, as there are several, as you covered them. And that's way better than having just one service and you have to choose whether you want to use it or not to use it. We can change the instance. Makes things better.
Yeah. Exactly. The worst case scenario, well, it happened for videos, because when I look for a video on the internet, I go to YouTube, because this is where all the videos are. And if YouTube doesn't want my video to be available online, I can be shadow banned or I can be kicked out. I can get a strike. So Google has the power for everything that's online if it's a video. And I think that's really bad. And it's probably too late. There is PeerTube and there are some other solutions, but let's face it, if you're looking for a video, you'll go to YouTube first. So it's not too late for podcasting. So we really need to fight. And for instance, the fact that Google abandoned Google Podcasts and they say now it's everything is on YouTube. Well, we must say no to that, because YouTube Podcast is a black hole. They are getting everything from outside, but they don't publish any RSS feed. So everything gets in, nothing gets out. If you have another way of monetizing, well, it won't work, because you can have a dynamic audio insertion on YouTube. And some hosting companies, some podcast hosting companies, they disabled exports and publishing to YouTube, and I think they're right.
Definitely, yeah. And so for all the topics related to custom pod, of course, we have some links in the show notes, and one website that comes into my mind is the Custom Pod Index. So this is not an early adopter system, as there are way more than 200 podcasts already being listed on the index, right? So it has gained some momentum, I would say.
Yeah. This website, the Castopod Index, we made that a few months ago because someone requested it. So we made that. It's not a comprehensive list of all Castopod instances, for one really good reason. First is that Castopod is open source, so anyone can go on castopod.org, download it, unzip it, install it a web server. It takes 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We did that in Berlin 2 weeks ago on my workshop. So it's really easy to install. And of course, there is no tracking inside of it. So if you install Castopod, we may never know. And it happens a lot. People use it, install it, and publish their podcast. And if they don't tell us, if they if their podcast doesn't get listed on the common places, we may never know it. Mm-hmm. So Castopod Index is just a list of some podcasts that we found, either because we knew them or because they were in the podcast index, which is an open source open data database of many podcasts, which is on podcastindex.org. Mm-hmm. But it's not all of them. And so far, I think there are like 600 podcasts using Castopod.
Wow.
But there are more of them for sure.
That's pretty good. So let's maybe jump in. So we heard a little bit about the basic idea behind Castopod and how you came up with a basic idea. So do you also host any podcasts, or what was your personal relationship with podcasting that led into the Castopod development?
Actually, I've been trying to host a podcast for years, but that's something I really like about podcasting, that you can try, you can fail, and you can try again, and you can change the subject, you can change the format, you can change the frequency, the duration. It's a media where you're 100% free of doing whatever you want to. So I started a new one a month ago, which is called RDGP, which is a play of word on the GDPR, which is... In French is RDGP, so, no, wait, RGPD, RGDP, so we mix the letters, so it's almost like GDPR, but not exactly. So everyone gets what it's about, and if you look for it in any podcast app, you will find it instantly, because it's the only... spelled like this way. And so obviously we're talking about GDPR and open source and about cookies and about all these this subject. And every 2 weeks we have a guest talking about this this subject. And I do also a monthly show on the a very short one on the radio here in Paris.
Oh, great.
Which is why I was late today.
Aha, great. So what is the difference between hosting a show on the radio and in the internet using a podcast? I think there's a huge difference. Tell us why.
So actually, here, no, there isn't any, because it's a show on the, like a local radio which publishes everything in a Creative Commons license. Mm-hmm. So I am allowed to take everything that I publish for them and to put it back on my podcast. And so it's same spirit. So no, it's not that different.
Okay. Interesting. So let's jump in. What is the major difference between Castopod and other podcasting hosting tools? And who's the project aimed at? So is it for technical podcasts or also for beginners? What would you say?
Well, one thing is podcasting is about publishing audio whenever you want to, wherever you want to, so that it's available on any platform except for YouTube. Mm-hmm. So basically, the basic features, you will get all the same on all podcast hosting platforms. Mm-hmm. And the only two things that make Castopod so special is that it's open source, so you can self-host. We also provide services if you don't want to go through the hassle of installing it yourself. Mm-hmm. You can go to castopod.com. So if you go to castopod.org, you can download it. If you go to castopod.com, then you can subscribe, and for a very reasonable fee, we'll manage everything for you. But let's say in a year or two or a week, you want to self-host, well, we will give you the database dump and everything, the files, so you'll be able to self-host on the exact same platform. So you can move very easily. And of course, if you want to move from one hosting platform to another, you can always do that. All hosting platforms allow you to move out or to move in, to import or to export. The only thing that you have to be aware of is that now it's possible to block exports. There's a tag in the RSS feed, which is called the locked tag, which prevents from exports if the destination, the target host, also knows what it's about, so it will be blocked. But that just a tiny mechanism to avoid unauthorized copies.
Ah, okay. Interesting. And I can say that it's quite easy to host CustoPod. So it's basically a PHP application. You will need a database, and there are also Docker containers. And I think there's also someone who ported it to Unohost. So if you are into Unohost,
yeah,
then it's quite easy to get it running there. And it's only a couple of minutes until you have your very first login possible.
Yeah. We designed it so that it's easy and cheap to host. Basically, we did it the same way WordPress works. It's PHP MySQL, so on any server, even if it's a shared hosting, you'll get everything you need to be able to host CustoPod. So you can install it on Apache or Nginx or anything with MySQL or MariaDB or Percona, it will work. And you can have Docker. I really don't like Docker, but it works. I think that's too complicated for doing such a basic thing like installing a PHP server, but you can do it if you want to. We even have a Kubernetes infrastructure if you want to be able to deploy many of them.
Oh, really? Great.
That's the beauty of open source. Anyone can do the way he wants.
That's interesting. I also saw that someone ported it to NixOS, so there's a Nix package available for CustoPod. So if you're into NixOS, I know that a lot of people coming from various hackspaces and the CCC corner really like it. So you can go ahead and run Nix shell CustoPod, and there you go. You have a CustoPod running on your system.
Yeah, I think you can also run it on some NAS servers.
Yeah.
And it's not a huge application in a sense that it doesn't require a huge amount of RAM or it just requires enough space on your hard drive so that you can put all your MP3s. But even an MP3 file nowadays, it's not that big.
Exactly, yeah. Codecs are pretty good these days. So I was just curious, is there a special story behind the name of CustoPod? Obviously, pod stands for podcasts, but what does Custo stand for?
Yeah, there is. I'm the one responsible for the name, so I plead guilty. And I had not many ideas, so I took the word podcast and I reversed it. So it became cast pod. So obviously I need some vowels in between. And I thought that castapod, castipod, castupod, castopod. And I thought castopod was sound pretty well. And it in the beginning, it made me think of a snail. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say that in English, but a snail is in French, gastropod. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first logo was a snail, but then we gave up on that idea.
Interesting and very funny story. And I think it's a catchy name. It's easy. It's not hard to remember. So I think you did a great job there. So when somebody visits the CustoPod website, one of the first topics that being displayed there is that CustoPod stands for Podcasting 2.0. So what does this mean, and what's the difference between, I would say, Podcasting 1.0 What are the major changes?
So this is probably one of the main things about Castopod, because I said that it's open source. It's also the second part, which I haven't said, but we talked about it earlier, it's that it's connected to the Fediverse. When we started developing Castopod in like the very early weeks, we were really naive. We assumed that if we developed a podcast hosting solution connected to the Fediverse, it would be so great that everyone would come on board. Mm-hmm. That's impossible. So we were naive, but on the other hand, we were lucky. Really lucky, because like at the exact same time, two guys in the US, Adam Curry and Dave Jones, started a movement which is called Podcasting 2.0. And they started that, why? Because Adam Curry is a really old podcaster. He's people call him the Podfather, because he was one of the earlier podcaster. He used to have the Daily Source Code, so a daily podcast more than 20 years ago. And he's also behind the first index, a catalog for podcasts. Back then, I think there were 4,000 podcasts. So now there are 4 million podcasts. But at some point, because he was the main figures of podcasting, Steve Jobs contacted him to ask him the permission to use this catalog in what would become iTunes podcasts.
Interesting.
He was really happy with that idea, because then Apple made everything possible so that this podcasting ecosystem stayed sustainable. They didn't get any money from it, but for almost 20 years, Apple kept the podcasting ecosystem alive. But at a really huge cost, which is whenever someone asked for a new feature, they did nothing.
Hmm.
So for 20 years, podcasting did not evolve at all. And that's a very long time.
Definitely.
Because in the meantime, we got social media, we got YouTube, we got DSL connections, we got 3G, 4G, smartphones, but podcasting stayed the same. And that began to be a real problem, because we needed transcriptions and geolocation and new stuff to put in the RSS feed. So technically, it's the DTD that defines what you are allowed to put in the RSS file, which defines the podcast. And so Apple never wanted to make that evolve. So at some point, Adam Curry and Dave Jones said, okay, we're going to start our own DTD, put that on top of Apple's one. Google also had one, but they abandoned it. Like 99% of what Google does, they try and then they forget about it. And that was the exact answer that we needed for what we wanted to do, which was adding interactions between the podcaster and the audience. So we were like member of the Podcasting 2.0 community from the very beginning. The first features, I think they were like transcriptions. So we added that in the very first version of Castopod. And then we said we need a way to interact. So I suggested the podcast interact tag, which was eventually added, which means that now Castopod publishes to RSS and to the Fediverse with ActivityPub, but the entry point to the Fediverse is also available within the RSS feed, meaning that any application subscribing to a podcast to an RSS feed knows how to interact on the Fediverse. And so Podcasting 2.0 to us was the ability to provide new features that we feel are really important now, and to make sure that anyone can get on board, because podcasting is decentralized. So that means that at some point you need other players to be able to understand what they can do. And so the funny thing is that 4 years later, this year in April, Apple eventually got on board and they are now using the transcript tag that the Podcasting 2.0 community created 4 years ago because Apple didn't want to add it. So I think that's really fair from Apple. Because it's not that often that they embed a technology that they did not invent. But here, I think they were really fair.
Definitely. And it's one of my favorite features that came into the iOS podcast app, to be honest. So I'm listening to a lot of technical podcasts. And of course, therefore, I really like chapter marks, because whenever there's a 4 hour episode, maybe I do not want to listen the 4 hours in one session, but I want to jump to topics that are very important to me. And then I can also scroll down the transcript and see, okay, a couple of minutes later, there's a part that really is interesting to me, and then I can jump by clicking the transcript text.
Yeah, you can jump. So the chapter, so they were chapter before Podcasting 2.0, because you can add chapters within an MP3 file. But if it's not MP3, if it's M4A, you're not 100% sure of how it's going to behave, and it's not easy to index. The good thing about Podcasting 2.0 is that it puts everything in the RSS feed, which is easily available. So you can interact between apps and platforms and services very easily. So having the chapters within the RSS feed is pretty neat. And on top of that, you can have links. If a chapter is about something, you can add a link to a website or whatever you want to, and an image. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
I really like the chapter image feature. I didn't know that this was possible. I discovered it when I was listening to Stay Forever, which is maybe the biggest German retro gaming and computing podcast. And they had a 4 hour episode about Windows 3.1. And then I saw, hold on, they have chapter marks about the several programs. And whenever I change the chapter, I see a screenshot of the application they are talking about. How crazy is this? And I adopted for one of my personal projects. And I think that's a huge game changer, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the transcription, you can it changes everything regarding the SEO, because now the audio file is not a black box anymore, and you can index it. You can search it, as you said, because you can scroll. I really like in the latest version of Anytime Podcast Player, you can search within the transcript. It's really cool.
That's awesome. Speaking of great features, so what other features does CustomPod ship?
So the best way to have an idea of all of them is to go on CustomPod.org and to check, because there are many, many, many of them. Because basically, CustomPod was designed for bringing everything you need as a podcaster. So you can upload your content, you can play with many, many Podcasting 2.0 features. There is a PWA app, so you can install your podcast on your cell phone. We optimize SEO. As soon as you have the transcription, you can it could be published and made available, and then you can create video clips, so like small videos, or small if you want them to be small, but with the transcripts and the sound waves, so that you can share that on any social platform. Of course, you can embed a player on another website. So mm-hmm. let's say if you have a WordPress website and you want to embed an episode on a page, that's available. You can also have a map because Castopod knows the geolocation, Podcasting 2.0 tag. Many features that you need, or even some that you don't need, because you probably won't be using all of them.
Yeah, there's a big list of features. I also see in the list that we have the possibility for theming. So, of course, you can make Castopod look like the branding of your podcast. And I really like that too, that you have several possibilities for analytics. So getting to know your audience, there are several options.
Yeah, because the analytics is a very important data. We wanted the analytics to be within your podcast so that you don't have to rely on a third party. When we started developing Castopod back then, the main platform for analytics was Chartable. And I thought that it was quite dangerous to rely on a third party for your analytics, which represent your the value of your audience in a way. And what really annoyed me is that they said it was free, but if you really wanted to get all the data back from them, then you had to pay. So you were giving them data that they would sell back to you if you needed it. And they own your data. Mm. And you know what they say, if it's free, then you're the product. And that's exactly what it was. And in the end, they shut down. So I don't know. Everyone who was relying on Chartable must be very, very disappointed by now. So I think we made the right choice by providing analytics feature within Castopod. And also, regarding GDPR, it makes a huge difference, even though no one cares. But it makes a really, really big difference. I don't think that anyone will get into trouble because, it's not that big deal. But in the end, let's face it, if you are using a platform such as Chartable, if you're in Europe and you're relying on a platform that's in the US for recording the analytics, and the platform records the IP address, which is a private information, well, then the GDPR applies and you never gave consent.
Exactly.
So there's a problem here that I'm probably the only one to worry about, but it's probably also a minor issue, but it is one.
It is definitely, and I really like that data privacy is one of the major topics for Castopod, because I agree with you that a lot of other platforms aren't interested in having great data privacy. And of course, if you're going to host your podcasts on your own, or maybe for you and your friends, then having great data privacy is an interesting topic. So glad to see it covered here. So, and maybe, as I just mentioned, you can use Castopod not only to host your podcast, it can be the start of a podcast network, because it's multi-tenancy. So you can start having a platform for all your friends or your family or other persons you know, right?
Yeah, because that's something that was really important to us from the very beginning. We wanted Castopod to be versatile as WordPress is. You can use WordPress for a very tiny blog or for your corporate website. It's not always the best solution, but still, it works. So for Castopod, we wanted it to be a good solution, whether you're in an independent podcaster with only one podcast, or for, let's say, a local radio network. Mm-hmm. And some radio networks are using Castopod to publish all their podcasts, meaning on one instance of Castopod, you can have as many podcasts as you want to, and you can have as many users accessing this podcast, so publishing, and you can define different level of access levels for each of these users. So, yeah, it's really important to us that it can work whether you have one podcast or 20 or 50.
Very interesting. Do you have any other interesting features of Castopod you want to share with our listeners?
Well, as I said in the beginning, the company that I started was about providing fair and sustainable ecosystem for podcasters. Mm-hmm. So there are many ways to make a podcast sustainable. The first one, if you do that as a hobby, of course, which is a huge part of the podcast ecosystem. But also, Castopod provides like any way to monetize your podcast. Mm-hmm. One of them is the funding links. Let's say if you have a Patreon or something like that, well, you can integrate that in Castopod, and you can use the podcast funding tag, which is also a podcasting 2.0 feature. So like if you're using Podcast Addict, the link for funding will be displayed in a way that you cannot miss it. Also, we integrate a feature that allows you to have premium episodes. So you can have like a public podcast with public episodes, but some of them won't be public, and only the listeners who subscribe to it will be able to see them in any application. Mm-hmm. It can be a Podcast Addict or Apple Podcast or any of them. And you can choose how you want to make this episode available to these premium listeners. So maybe it's because they paid, maybe it's because they are from your family, or maybe it's because they are your employees. It's up to you. Castopod is really agnostic on how you use the technology. We are also compatible with the web monetization protocol, which is provided by Interledger, the Interledger Foundation, which is pretty cool. We added that like 4 years ago. One of the company who was making that possible, Coil.com, shut down over a year ago, so not so cool for a while, but they are bring it back alive from the dead, and I think it will be awesome, like really, really, really good. Imagine this is what I think will happen in the next year, by next year. So imagine having web monetization enabled on your podcast. Basically, it means that there's a wallet address that's been assigned to you, mm-hmm. where you can receive real money. So I'm not talking about Bitcoin or stuff like that, like real money in fiat currency like euros. And some listeners will also have a wallet. And when they are listening to your podcast with compatible applications or on your website, they will stream money as long as they listen to your episodes, and you'll be receiving that money, and you'll be able to spend it in real store, because that money will arrive on your credit card directly. And that's not science fiction. I happen to have one of these cards, and it really works. And it's pretty awesome. We just need like all the actors to implement the protocol, which is pretty easy from the Castopod point of view. Mm-hmm. So we're not the ones who have the more work to do here. And I think that can change the whole ecosystem, and it can also work. It can work for podcasting, but also for video. So, or for a social network, like, you know, Twitter Blue, it allows you to get paid if your tweets get read. Well, we could have the exact same thing on Mastodon, but in a way that you're not, you don't depend on a single platform. So yeah, it'd be pretty cool. And also you can have ads. So at my company, we developed a system that allows you to embed affiliate links that are linked to the content. So it's a contextual ad. And I think that's it.
Interesting. So many options to have monetization. I often see that a lot of podcast formats have this kind of premium content, as you mentioned. So you have people that are using Steady or other platforms. And so does CustomPod implement the kind of user management? So people that found me are automatically created, or do I need to create them manually? And then they have a personalized feed URL I need to mail them? Or how does it work?
Well, for now, if you want to give a premium access to a user, you have to create that user in CustomPod. CustomPod has a customer management where you create feed, which are like private feeds for all your customers. When web monetization gets activated everywhere, you won't even need that, because as soon as a listener will subscribe to your podcast, if that listener has web monetization activated, you will be able to display these premium episodes automatically, which means that you don't need the customer's identity. The exact same way, now, if you want to go buy a magazine, you can give a 2 euros coin and get your magazine, and you don't have to give like your email address. It's like common sense. That's impossible on the internet. So that's one really cool feature brought by Interledger with web monetization that I really like. It's the ability to buy cultural content online without having to give your identity to the content provider.
Exactly. Sounds interesting. So I'm thrilled to see how this will develop in the future. Speaking of developing the future, so CustomPod is 4 years old by now, but I think there must be a way of new ideas you people still have and things that might be on the roadmap. So are there any plans?
Yeah, the roadmap is really, really long, as you can imagine. The version 2 is coming in the next few weeks, month, and it will bring a feature that was asked by many, which is the ability to have plugins.
Oh, great.
Which is yet another feature that we copied from WordPress. Because at some point, we realized that it's impossible for us to add all the features that people ask and to put all of them in the core source code, which is why we came up with the plugin architecture. So some of it is already available in the on the Git repository. So you can download the version 2 alpha version, and we will release the stable version very soon. So it will have already some plugins that we've been developing, and anyone will be able to have his own plugins.
That sounds great. Interesting to see this coming. And one thing that I would love to see in CastoPod, and I would love to hear your thoughts on it, is maybe having the possibility of having multiple audio files per episode. As you mentioned, we have things like MP3, MP4. Opus is a codec that's very valuable to podcasting because it has very, very small files and has great audio quality. Is there something that might come in the future? What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah, that's been on the roadmap since day one, but it hasn't been on the top of the list. One thing that we did when we started CastoPod is we wanted to make sure that it works like 100% on all platforms. So even M4A, which is Apple format, is better than MP3. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work on Spotify. Mm. So, which is why we tend to say use MP3. Because, yeah, we know it's not the best, but it will work everywhere. I prefer like FLAC files or OGG Vorbis files. Mm-hmm. But they don't work everywhere. The thing is, at some point, Podcasting 2.0 added an alternate enclosure tag, which allows you to have multiple files for the same episodes. So we still have to implement that. We haven't yet, but this is on the roadmap for sure. And also one of the reasons for the alternate enclosure tag is for some countries where the bandwidth is still really expensive, you want the listener to be able to select the quality and the weight of the file. So maybe a very low resolution audio file is enough, and it's going to be cheaper regarding the bandwidth, so it's better. So with the alternate enclosure file, you'll be able to choose different bandwidth, different formats, or maybe, Dolby Atmos files, or why not?
Yeah, great. That sounds very interesting. I think that a lot of people will love to see this feature coming. Do you have any favorite plugin of those plugins that will come in the next major version?
Good question. None that I can think of. No.
So speaking of development and community, so I assume that there are a lot of people that are part of the CastoPod project, as you mentioned in your introduction. So what does the community structure look like? Are there separate teams for documentation and development, or how does your organization look like?
Actually, the core team of CastoPod is quite small. It's been Yassin, who's the main developer, and he's been the main developer since the beginning, and me. And we had some contributors. Mm-hmm. Most of them, most of the contributors worked on the translations.
Ah, great.
Because we're French, so we developed CastoPod in English and in French. And it's been translated in almost 30 languages, including German, of course, but also some very rare languages, such as Breton or Wales. So many languages that are not that common, but their community is really strong. And we are probably the only podcast hosting platform that provide these languages.
Awesome.
And we have from time to time some bug correction or new features, but not as many as we wished we have.
Mm-hmm. So are there any topics that have the highest demand, any special topics you really would need support from the community and maybe new members?
I don't think this is how it works. You cannot ask the community to work on a specific topic. It must come from the community itself. There's been a tremendous amount of work integrating CastoPod, like on Docker, on the Unohost, and they work like every day on this.
Wow.
on the course, the core source code, not that many. So I wish they were. If someone doesn't need something, they won't do it. Open source is about contributing on your free time or on feature that you need. If you don't need that, then you need to get paid for it.
Exactly. Speaking of community, so I have collected several questions from our community. So I told several people that we're going to do an interview and they were like, oh, that's interesting. You must ask Benjamin the following questions. So maybe let's wrap it up with those questions. And
Sure.
One of those being, so people want to know whether CastoPod also influences your everyday job, or is this only your private project, or is this your full day filling activity that you're doing every day?
Well, CastoPod influences my everyday job because it is my everyday job.
Yeah.
I do many, many other things, but CastoPod was a side project for the company that I started 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it became like the main one now, because it is what connects everything to podcasters.
Definitely, makes sense. Another person wants to know, how much value do you place on code quality? So do you have any special checks, whether it's just working code or also nice code that's efficient?
So that's on Yassin. He's the one dealing with that. And all I can say is that every time I contribute to CastoPod, which happens less and less, but still from time to time, I spend, let's say, like 2 days developing a feature and then 2 weeks making sure that my code can integrate the repository, because I get blocked by many, many messages for code quality.
Okay, so somebody else wants to know how exactly a podcast can be exported from CastoPod to host it with another software, so something like WordPress maybe, or maybe just a static site generator, which is also possible. So if you really want to do it, you can also write an XML document on your own. So is there just an export button, or how does it look like?
So the way that you usually move from one platform to another is that you go on the target platform and you click import and you paste the RSS URL. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And it's the exact same for all platforms. And the only thing, as I mentioned earlier, is that in CastoPod, you have to disable the lock tag. So that's just one button, but if locked is enabled, then imports should not work.
Mm-hmm. So for the future of the project, do you have any commercial or politic plans? What do you think CastoPod will look like in a couple of years, maybe?
I don't know what it will look like within 2 years, especially since we have, I hope, tons of plugins. We already have a commercial plans on castopod.com, and I hope that we'll have it developed. We'll probably update it soon. But yeah, no, I cannot say what it will be like exactly.
I think the message of CastoPod is clear. So be the open alternative to closed podcasting platforms, hosted on your own, or make use of the commercial offerings. And I think that's way in the right direction to the right time, in my opinion. Hmm. So the last question is, in your opinion, what do you think? How relevant is GDPR for podcasting in general? So speaking of things like content moderation or fees for music that might be used in the podcast episodes. Do you think it's a big thing, or it's just neglected by the most content creators and platforms?
Regarding GDPR, we already talked a little bit about it. I think that no one cares about GDPR in the podcasting industry, or almost no one. From time to time, you see on some hosting companies a disclaimer at the bottom of the show notes saying thing that means that your IP gets recorded every time you're listening to an episode. But that's it. There is no consent collecting or things like that, because podcasting is really different from any website, because you listen through an app, so there is no way to collect consent. There is also no cookies at all.
Yeah.
So it's safer, but at the same time, no one has ever been done to make sure that everything is done by the books. Regarding music, well, that's a tricky one. I'm not an expert. The problem here is that, of course, you shouldn't use music if you don't have the correct license to do that. So that's not an issue. Don't do it if you're not allowed to. If you want to be allowed to do that and to pay for it, it depends on which country you live in. In France, we have the SACEM dealing with that. And you can like subscribe for an annual fee to be allowed to do that. But they don't want to deal with the podcasters. They want to deal with the podcast hosting companies because it's easier for them. So in the end, it's not that easy. And the real problem is if you are using, let's say, Creative Commons music and that you eventually get blocked on some platform, let's say Spotify, for instance, because they don't want to check whether this particular music is Creative Commons or not. They will just block it.
Oh, interesting. Didn't know that.
And that's a problem. And I think the solution here is pretty easy. Stop broadcasting on Spotify. If they don't want your content, then don't give it to them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is why we need to keep podcasting decentralized, because we need options. We need choice.
Definitely. That's also my opinion. If there's not a public feed that I can subscribe to, then it's not a podcast. Then it's an exclusive show to another hoster.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very interesting talking to you, Benjamin. So thanks a ton for all those great information you shared with our listeners. It was very interesting.
Thank you.
And maybe let's wrap it up with a call to action. So let's say somebody that have listened to this episode is thrilled about Cast Support as we are. How can those people get started? Where should they go? Where should they begin to be part of the community and maybe contribute to Cast Support?
There are many, many ways to help Castopod. First, you can go to castopod.org. You can download it. You can install it, play with it. You can find the documentation. You can go to castopod.com and you can subscribe there to get your podcast hosted by us. You can also go to opencollective.com/castopod if you want to make a donation. That's something that we really appreciate, of course. And you can go to code.castopod.org and apply to create an account there. If your account doesn't, we have many spams there, so your account needs to be approved. If it doesn't, feel free to drop us an email to remind us that you applied, but your account hasn't been validated. And there you can do whatever you want to. So if you found a bug, or if you have a feature request, or if you want to contribute to the code, well, everyone is invited and everyone is welcome.
Great words to sum up the episode. So thanks a lot, Benjamin. It was a pleasure. And of course, dear listener, thanks for listening to that episode. So in case you have any ideas or wishes or tooltips, feel free to drop us a mail at podcast@sva.de. And of course, we are already and always interested to see ratings using the podcatcher of your choice. So and of course, if you have a podcast you want to start, maybe have a look at Castopod the next time. So thanks for listening. Thanks, Benjamin. And hear you next time.
Dankeschön.
Tschüss.
Tschüss.